God bless you for being here this morning. And I've got a message this morning, which actually I preached this message 2 years ago, New Year's Day, 2 years ago. Sunday was on New Year's Day 2 years ago, and I preached this message then, and I believe the Lord has been putting it on my heart to preach it again. It's in the book of Joshua. I want you to turn, please, with me to Joshua chapter 24. And I think we could probably preach this message every week. Now, I heard something one time. This pastor, they got this new pastor in this church, and when he came, he kept preaching the same message all the time. Every Sunday, he preached the same message, right? And somebody said to him, why did he keep preaching the same message? He said, well, you haven't done it yet. There's a lot of truth in that. I'm not one for jokes, eh? But there's a lot of truth in that. We hear the word of God, but do we do it? We need to be doers of the word, eh? So, Joshua chapter 24, I'm going to be reading verses 14 to 16, and also then skipping down to verse 20 to 24. Is it all there? Praise the Lord. Verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the God which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. This is Joshua talking to the people, all right? And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, the famous quote, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God, listen what they said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. That's what they said. Skip down to verse 20. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, verse 23, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And verse 24, and the people said unto Joshua, listen what they said, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Amen. Now I'm going to read 1 Kings 18:21. Don't bother turning there for time's sake. But in 1 Kings 18:21, we read, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And listen to the response. And the people answered him, not a word. Not a word. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us get something out of this today, a challenge for us today, my friends. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to hear what he wants to speak to us today. Lord God, we thank you for this small group of people, Lord, who have faithfully come out to hear your word preached this morning, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to each one, Lord, each one of us, where we're at, Lord, as we hear the word preached and the challenge that comes forth from your word today, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, Lord, and minister to us, Lord, in a way that we need to be ministered to, each one of us, Lord. Bless the people for their faithfulness to come today, Lord. Bless the service as we proceed, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, something I want us to take careful note of in these two passages of Scripture is that in response to Joshua's challenge to the people about which God they were going to serve, twice the people all enthusiastically responded, saying in verse 22, we will serve the Lord. And in verse 24, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. In contrast, though, in response to Elijah's question to the people as to whether they would follow the God of the Bible or whether they would follow Baal, the God of the Amorites, Scripture informs us in 1 Kings 18:21 that the people answered him not a word. They answered him not a word. The title of my message this morning is really a question. It's going to be a challenge to each one of us at the beginning of this new year of 2019, a year which perhaps could be the start of new opportunities and blessings from God. Or perhaps, depending upon the choices we make, it could be the start of missed opportunities and great disappointments. As each of our scriptures demonstrate in the historical accounts of God's dealings in the affairs of the nation of Israel, the people had a choice to make. Either they could serve the true God, who in answer to their prayers and petitions proved himself in demonstrations of powers and great wonders that he loved them, bringing them out of captivity in Egypt into freedom and abundant blessing. Or they could serve Baal, the false god of the Amorites, who proved nothing and held his servants in subjection and oppression. If you know anything about Baal, they used to sacrifice their little children to him. They used to burn them in the fire to Baal. Hey, we do that today. Our society today has killed millions and millions of little babies sacrificed to a foreign god too, my friends. That foreign god is self, the god of self. We do the same. So the people weren't so primitive back in those days. My message this morning is an update of a message I preached in the morning service on New Year's Day 2017, as I just mentioned a while ago. That was 2 years ago, and it was 6 months prior to Pastor James and Cindy returning to Sydney. I believe that the Lord put it on my heart a couple of weeks ago to repeat this provoking question that this message presents to each one of us, making it relevant for 2019. Consequently, the title of my message is, Who Will You Serve in 2019? Who will you serve in 2019? And there's a subtitle. And whose voice will you obey? You remember it? Yes, yeah, some people will remember my message. Well, we're going to get it. I'm a school teacher. Hey, well, I was. I was a school teacher. So I know about repetition. And I was a school kid one time too. I didn't learn that one and one was two and remember it on day two. I had to be taught again. So this is a repeat, but it's got some updates in it, all right? But who will you serve in 2019, and whose voice will you obey? I hope you can see that there is a challenge for us in that title. And there is a very important choice, a decision that we all need to make as we start off into 2019. God is provoking us to make certain choices. He always does. He always does. The introductory verses we've just read from the book of Joshua, chapter 24, are a record of Joshua's final words to the nation of Israel before his death. Previous verses in the chapter are a chronological, historical account spoken by Joshua of all the things that God had accomplished in them and through them because of their obedience to him. They are also a warning of what could go wrong if the people chose to go back to the lifestyle that they lived prior to God rescuing them out of Egypt. There was a choice to be made, all right? In verse 15 of Joshua 24, Joshua tells the assembled people, And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then he made that famous statement that every God-honoring Christian likes to quote about themselves, including me, including myself. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. After numerous warnings about what would happen if they reverted back to serving false gods and idols, all the people professed in verse 21, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And again in verse 24, they all proclaimed in a united voice of agreement, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. However, by the time we get to our scripture in chapter 18 of the first book of Kings, and the famous account of Elijah confronting the priest of Baals on Mount Carmel, we discover that instead of continuing to serve and obey the true God of heaven, the Israelites were following after the false god Baal some of the time, and then attempting to serve the true God who had delivered them out of Egypt at other times. The people of Israel were hedging their bets, as the saying goes in the gambling world. They were having two bob each way, just in case one of their gods didn't work the way they expected him or her to. It's like having a spare god up your sleeve. This practice is still popular today, where people will join two religious beliefs into one, or else they will attempt to blend the things of the world with the things of the church, a thing that the God of the Bible emphatically forbids. For all you people who weren't around, to remember, the change to decimal currency in Australia in 1966, two bob was slain for two shillings. It's the same. We say, oh, I have two bob each way. That means you didn't know really who to bet on. So you'd have a bet on both. So that's what two bob is. 2 shillings. But when we changed over to decimal currency, it became 20 cents. But there was something wrong. 2 shillings had 24 pennies in it. 20 cents only had 20 cents. We got short-shifted for 4 somethings. We weren't sure what it was, but we knew we didn't have as much as we used to have. All right? Anyhow, it's 20 cents in the new money system. Anyhow, back to the serious stuff. The prophet Elijah issued a stern challenge to these people who were assembled at Mount Carmel. They needed to make a calculated decision about what they would do. And he said unto them in verse 21 of 1 Kings chapter 18, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him. In other words, how long are you going to sit on the proverbial fence of indecision, trying to figure out in your futile minds how you can successfully serve both gods? Make up your minds, he was telling them. If the Lord be God, then follow him, and him only. But if you believe that Baal is God, then go ahead and follow him, and him only. But you can't have it both ways by trying to serve both the God of the Hebrews and Baal, the God of the heathen nations, at the same time. You can't serve both, all right? It has to be one or the other. You can't have a little bit of this God here and a little bit of God, that God there, because that's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. And something I've come to recognise during nearly 40 years that I've been serving God as a Christian is that when people elect for more than one God to be involved in the affairs of their lives, it always ends up with the false God of the heathen seeming to become predominant. That's what I've noticed. And I've been looking. And I'm a sticky pig, you know. Right? And an analytic. So, that's what I've noticed. When people decide they're going to serve not the God of the Scriptures, but the God of this world, the devil, their lives go upside down. From my observations, I've noticed that's always the God of the Bible's blessing that progressively loses its influence. And the person's life descends into chaos and trouble as the true God deserts them, leaving them with their chosen false God. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. All right? God does say that. If you've got a choice, you can leave God. He will not leave you nor forsake you if you're a Christian. But I tell you what, there's a thing in the Bible called chastisement. And when you're getting chastised, it's noticeable to all around you that you are being chastised. Anyhow, that doesn't mean that the false God of the heathens is more powerful than the true God of the Bible. It just means that the God of the Bible has given us a free will and the grave responsibility of making moral choices about who we will serve. However, the consequences of the choices we make become ours as well. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, thanks. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Let's hear what Jesus says about this. About making a choice. You've got to choose who you're going to serve. Matthew 6:24, the Lord puts it like this. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Jesus is simply saying what both Joshua and Elijah said in our opening scriptures, just using different words. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites. Likewise, Elijah said, if the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. Jesus was also saying, we can't serve both gods and have everything turn out beautiful. We must make up our minds about who we will serve. Because if we are trying to serve both the true God of the Bible and the false God of the heathens, if we think we can do that, then trouble is definitely looming somewhere up ahead during this journey of life. Your life will get bumpy. What does it say? The way of the transgressor is hard. I like that scripture too because I can identify with it my former life, living up in the top end of Australia here where there was no bitumen roads. And then getting saved was like coming to Cairns and driving on the bitumen. It's like a different thing altogether. It's so pronounced. The way of the transgressor is hard. All right, if you serve that other God, you're going to run into trouble. Just a caution here. Listen carefully, please. I want you to get this. You might not have noticed yet the implications of what all these scriptures are saying. Jesus, Joshua, and Elijah all say that we must serve one God or the other. But we can't serve both gods. However, there's something here that most people fail to understand, and that is we can't choose to serve no God at all. There's no choice for no God. There's no choice for no God. In fact, by not serving one of the gods, we are actually serving the other God by default. Amen? There's no way we can get out of this situation by thinking that we can choose to serve none. There's no neutral ground. In God's economy, it's got to be one or the other, full stop. I hope that's clear. Okay? We can't get out of this by trying to convince ourselves and everyone else that we are non-religious. And therefore, we don't believe in God anyway. So that doesn't involve us. We're just not going to get involved. You think you can do that? By choosing to ignore the God of the Bible, who is really the only true God, we are by default serving the only other God available, which is the God of this world, Satan himself, who Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4, he hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Do we really understand what is required of us regarding who we will serve in this year of 2019? We can't choose to serve none. If you think you're serving, we're not involved in this church stuff and all this religious nonsense, we're just going to live our life. Well, you're by default serving Satan, the God of this world. There's only two choices. It's the true God or the God of this world. The God of the Bible or the God of this world. Do you understand that? By saying, I'm not getting involved. You're serving the God of this world. So, do we really understand what is required of us regarding who we will serve in this year of 2019? The choice is compulsory. And we can't sit on the proverbial fence with one leg on this side and the other leg on the other side. Even in the natural, sitting on both sides of the fence is a painful experience. But in the spiritual, the pain will be eternal. We have to make a choice to put both legs on this side of the fence or on the other. Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. Who is on the Lord's side? Come over this side of the line. We have to make a choice. And it's not even acceptable to be like the people in who Elijah confronted because they were trying to serve two gods, where we are told we can't even be like these people. And the people answered him not a word. Whether we answer the question audibly or not, God knows what choice we make about who we will serve in 2019. Amen. Today we live in an age where trouble is buffeting both the church and society generally on all sides. But I want to encourage us to forget for a while all the troubles and disasters that are happening in society outside the church, because they are only a symptom of humanity's choice to serve the God of this world rather than the God of the Bible. This morning, rather than looking at the world and pointing our fingers and blaming corrupt politicians, the homosexual lobby, the abortion industry, etc., for all our woes, I want us to relate the consequences of how we respond to my question, who will you serve in 2019, upon spiritual things rather than secular. Forget about the world for a moment and let's think about the church in particular. It's my considered opinion that the disastrous things that we see happening in the world around us today are only a reflection of the disastrous things that are being tolerated and practiced in the professing churches throughout the world. It's the consequences of things that are taking place in the professing churches, things that are happening in the spiritual realm, in the professing churches, either for good or bad, are reproduced in the natural, in the secular societies and cultures in which we live. That's my opinion, and I believe it's true. It's not the other way around. The church follows the world. No, the world follows the church. It's the spiritual that leads the way, my friends. The choices that we make about who we will serve and whose voice we will obey, whether it be the God of the Bible or whether it be one of the multitude of foreign gods we can choose from, and whether we make the choice as an individual or corporately, as a local church, it's going to have an effect upon our lives. And it's because of the wrong choices that the professing churches throughout the world have made down through the years about who they will serve whether it be the true God of the Bible or pretend gods of the likes of Baal, that we end up with the ungodly society that we currently live in. There is an abundance of false religions in the world today, all proclaiming that they are the way of truth and enlightenment, and that the only hope we can possibly have of enjoying a great life in the here and now, with health and abundant prosperity assured, the only hope you can have of achieving eternal life in paradise, that's if they believe in one, is to put your hope and trust in their doctrines and serve their particular version of God. Besides the God of the Bible who loves us and sent his Son to die on the cross, shedding his blood for our sins, there are many other pretend gods and many idols competing for our devotion and attention. But 1 Corinthians 8, 5 and 6 reminds us that, though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be many gods and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Though there are many things that the unbelievers worship as gods and willfully make to be lords over their lives, all of these objects of worship, whether they be material or spiritual, are not really gods. They're not really gods. Amen? Not true gods. And the God of heaven mocks these so-called gods, and he also mocks the people who worship them because of their foolishness. Let's have a look at a couple of scriptures that do exactly that. Firstly, I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 10, please. God mocks all these other gods, and he mocks the people that worship them. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, read, "For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman, with the axe. They deck it, or decorate it, with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, or carried around, not given birth to. They must needs be born, carried, because they cannot go." In other words, they can't walk by themselves. God says, "Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good." Pretty plain, isn't it? Now, you might be thinking already, who would be so primitive and foolish as to cut a tree down and make an object of worship out of it? They must be crazy, right? Anyone who does that? You'd think so, wouldn't you? Who would cut a tree down in this modern era that we live in and worship it? Well, a Christmas tree, good one, yeah. But this is a fairly graphic description of the activities of a religious institution that has survived in various forms from before the beginning of the days of Jeremiah right up until our present time. There are people in so-called churches across the world in our day, right at this very moment, who have dead pieces of wood that they serve as gods. They worship idols, which are scathingly mocked by God. God says that these pieces of dead wood, despite how sincerely some religious deceived people might claim to the contrary, they can do neither evil nor good. Let me assure you that according to Scripture, a dead log of wood won't be a good god to serve in 2019. Let's take a quick look at another Old Testament warning against serving a god we've created with our own hands and from our own futile imaginations, rather than serving the God of the Bible. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah 44, please. And let's take a look at a few verses here, starting from verse 6. Now, we're talking about people who make idols and worship them. Amen? That's what we're trying to point out here. Isaiah 44. Now, the scripture we're about to read would be rather humorous, except that it's not some kind of a fairy tale, but it's actually what numerous people today involve themselves in every day. Today, in this modern era we live in. And it's not just the God rejecting heathen nations of the world, but right here in our intellectually advanced, technologically modern city of Cairns, even. Can you believe that? People would be doing that here in Cairns. Let's read what Isaiah said and see if you can identify anyone in Cairns that might do this sort of thing. Isaiah 44, verses 6, and then we're going to jump down to verses 8 through to 19. "Thus saith the Lord, King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last." Listen to what he says. "Besides me there is no God." Besides me there is no God. Verse 8. "Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God, I know not any." Jump down to verse 10. Who hath formed a god or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Down to verse 14. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn. The wood. He's going to burn the wood. And shall it be for a man to burn. For he will make take thereof, and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it, cuts it up, right, and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god, and worshippeth it. He maketh a graven image, and falleth down thereto. Verse 16 says, he burneth part thereof in the fire, with part thereof he eateth flesh, he roasteth roast, and is satisfied. Stops his hunger. Yea, he warms himself, and saith, aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And the residue, what's left over of his log of wood, the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worshippeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood. This is what God's saying. They have not known nor understood. For he has shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, this is what he's saying about these people. They don't consider in their heart, and they don't have knowledge to understand to say, I have burned part of it in a fire, yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof, I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? How foolish it is to think that we can make our own God and serve and worship out of a piece of wood even. Part of our God we use to keep us warm on a cold night. Part of our God we use to cook our meal. And what's left over we fashion into an idol which we serve and bow down to and worship and pray to and even ask it to bless our lives. And not only that, but we also expect this piece of wood to somehow have power to defend us in times of trouble and even to give us eternal life, which is what everyone hopes for anyway. Even the unbelievers hope for eternal life. It sounds crazy to Bible-believing Christians who have been born again and have placed their hopes in the Lord, doesn't it? Sounds crazy, doesn't it, that people would do that? Unimaginable foolishness. But vast multitudes of people throughout the world, even today, are doing just that. And like I said, they're even doing it here in Cairns. People create their own God out of wood or some molten metal, lavishly decorate it, then parade it around and everyone bows down and worships it. And they will try to convince us that they have the hope that is both sure and steadfast in their man-made wooden God, and that we, along with them, should serve that God and obey its imaginary voice. We haven't mentioned this morning that some of these same groups of people also promote as part of their beliefs that even men become gods. You know about people that do that? The Roman Catholic Church is full of them. Well, they would have been yesterday. They don't seem to all go to church on a Sunday anymore. They have Mass on a Saturday night so they can have Sunday off to go to the sports and stuff, you see. Footy. They do have both. But most of the people I know, they go on a Saturday night. They have both. Some people turn up for both. But they bow down to worship idols, my friends. They say they don't. Yes, they do. I watched the Pope. Did you see the Pope on New Year's Day? I didn't watch it this year. I watched it last year or the year before. He worships Mary. That idol of Mary, made out of wood and plaster, he worships it. And then he grabs that little baby Jesus out of the cradle and he kisses it. And all the other cardinals, and they all kiss that thing and then they parade it all around through their big cathedral over there and put it in the manger on Christmas Day. They worship idols. You think people would be more mature now, wouldn't you? That's old-fashioned stuff. No, it's happening today. It's happening today. And I said, these people even believe, well, the people don't, but their catechism says it, that men become God. God became man that we might become God. That's in their catechism, and I've quoted it here before. So there's plenty of that stuff going on, which Jeremiah talked about, still even today. It's not Old Testament stuff. It's happening today. But what will we do in answer to our question today? As born-again Christian believers who have read our Bibles and who have heard God's warning about listening to the voices of foreign gods Who will we serve in 2019, and whose voice will we obey? There's no escape. We have to make a choice. Earlier in this message, we read Matthew 6:24, where the Lord Jesus made it plain. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Elijah said, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, follow him. We have to make a choice. Have I made myself clear? We've got to make a choice. We've got to make a choice. Not for me, for God. But that's a challenge God made to me first before I brought it here to preach. Be assured. Who will you serve, Huey? Who are you going to serve? Will you continue to serve me, or will you go away and serve some foreign god that's coming into the churches wholesale? Independent Baptist churches are being taken over by foreign gods. The god of this world getting into independent Baptist churches wholesale. Wholesale. And we're standing against it here. If you don't believe that there's the god of this world is getting into independent Baptist churches, then why are independent Baptist churches going off to Hillsong? I'll tell you why they want to go to Hillsong. They see that Hillsong has got a way of building a church that gets a lot of people and a lot of money. Right? They want to know how they've done it. And so they're going off to that church to find out their strategy. And this is the sort of stuff we've got to stand against. We don't want to build our church according to Rick Warren or Hillsong. We want to build our church according to God's word. Amen? Obey God and let's see who he brings along. We go into all the world and preach the gospel. Not many people, as in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, not many people want to hear the gospel today. But our job is to go into all the world and preach the gospel still and see who God brings along. God will add to his church. We don't need a rock musician. But that's what they're doing. And they're doing that. They're bringing all the rock songs into the churches because they see that young people are attracted to that. They're not coming for God, though. They're coming for the world. Who are we going to follow? Let's close this morning with a scripture that will encourage those of us who, during the last year, we already made the choice to serve the living God of the Bible. Let's read a scripture from God's Word that will inspire us to answer our question today by decidedly affirming that we are going to serve the true and living God of the Bible. And with his help, we are going to obey his voice, whatever the circumstances, during this new year of 2019. We're going to have a scripture that will encourage us. And it's in Romans, actually, Romans chapter 6. If you're here this morning, let me just say this too before we read our scripture. If you're here this morning and you don't know for sure which God you are serving, listen to me, please. If you're here this morning and you don't know for sure which God you are serving, or maybe you do know, but it's not the true and living God of the Bible, the one who we've been talking about, if you're here and you don't have assurance of eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never been born again of the Spirit, but you now have questions about these things, then let me encourage you, before you leave here this morning, come and speak to me, please. Come and speak to me or some other mature Christian and find out what you need to do to receive eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not serving the true and living God of the Bible, and you'll know whether you are or not, and now you're, ooh, hang on, I need to do something about this, come and speak to us. God says in the Bible in 1 Timothy 2:4 that he wants all people to be saved and to know the truth about salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, God wants all men to be saved, he says. He wants everyone to know about it. But we have to make the choice about whether we want to know or not. Do you want to know? That's the thing. We can force it on you and get you to make a profession of faith, but you need to make a decision for yourself. Amen. No one goes to hell because God wants them to go there. People end up in hell instead of heaven simply because they chose to listen to the lies of the devil rather than the truth of God. We have to make a choice. Our question this morning is, who will you serve in 2019 and whose voice will you obey? In Romans 6, verses 16 to 23, you're there? Romans 6, verses 16 to 23, Paul was challenging the professing Christians, just like us, and he wrote, he's talking to Christians, but listen what he says. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. That's in verse 16 of Romans 6. Right? Did you notice that there are two choices there? One choice leads to hell and an eternal death, and the other leads to heaven and eternal life. However, there's no option for anyone to make no choice at all. There's no option to make no choice. We had to choose one or the other. Let me read it again. Verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. No third choice there. Verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, or delivered you. Being then made free from sin, this is what happened to us, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servant of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we had to make a choice, hey? He's talking about Christians there. Christians who got saved and still serving that other God, or trying to. Right? Things going upside down in their lives. We have to make our choice to serve one or the other. Who will you serve in 2019? I know what I'm going to do. Hey, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue serving the same God I served in 2018. And it's the same God I've been serving since 1982. As for me and my house, I know, Colleen is with me on this, as for me and my house, we will continue to serve the same God we served last year. How about you? What will you do?